Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast. My name is Tiagi Delanrol, and I'm here today with Shija Rai, Global Head HR, Taste and Well-Being at Givaudan. We're going to be speaking about bridging employee well-being and career success, really sharing insights from global HR leadership. Now, to tell you a little bit more about Shija, she's a very accomplished global HR leader with over two decades of experience across industries such as chemicals, manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, and IT. As the global head of HR for Taste and Well-Being at Givaudan, Shija leads strategic initiatives to drive employee engagement, performance management, and well-being for a diverse global workforce. Her innovative people-first strategies have earned her recognition as a transformative leader in HR. From pioneering advanced performance management systems to spearheading employee engagement programs, Shija combines a strategic focus with a deep commitment to fostering a culture of care. So in today's episode, we'll explore Shija's journey, her strategies for integrating employee well-being into organizational success, and how HR leaders can prepare employees for fulfilling, resilient careers in an ever-changing global landscape. Welcome, Shija.
Thank you, Tiagi. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here. And thank you for the wonderful kind words.
Oh, of course. It's so lovely to connect with you. I know we actually connected a few months back, but I'm really excited now to finally speak with you at this time. Now, here at the Employee Wellbeing Council, we pride ourselves on really being human-centric. And you're human, so today we're going to center around you. So we're going to start off with, which talent would you most like to have?
That's a very interesting question. Thank you. What talent would I like to have?
Yeah.
If I could have a talent, I would say it would be a talent if I could just instantly learn and speak different languages.
That would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Yes, today I'm learning German because now I'm based in Zurich. But imagine if I could have that talent, it would be so easy for me to connect to my teams across the world, talk in their own language. And I truly believe that language gives you the power of creating the genuine connections, fostering trust, something I believe is at the heart of great leadership and building teams.
I love that. I mean, I've heard other leaders also share that that's that same kind of talent that they'd like to have. And especially with your background, right, in HR, I can see why this would be so prevalent for you to have this talent.
Absolutely.
It's all about building trust. I feel like when you connect, even in just saying hello in someone's language, that the sheer fact that you made the effort, you can see that it warms them.
Absolutely. I mean, I always believed you, if you give a smile, you get a smile back. But then if you are also able to bring it to the next level and connecting and able to connect from words, it just takes you to the next level.
Absolutely. And this is the beautiful nuance of being human, right?
Absolutely.
This is stuff that AI really can't take, is that trust factor and that relationship building, which is uniquely human. Now, the next question, if you were to die and come back as a person or thing, what would it be?
You know what? Actually, if I would say if I die and come back, I would like to live my life again the same way. I'm just very grateful for all the experiences that I have got, for all the blessings that I have got in my life. Of course, the life has not been easy. It has its own triumphs and tribulations. But I'm also somebody who always believed, like, you know, you always win or you learn, but you never lose. So I would really not want to come back in my next life anything different. I'm just thankful for what I have. And that's what I will wish in my next life too.
That really touches me because you're living from a place of gratitude always. It's the first time I'm hearing it, which is really nice. Okay, well, let's delve into your career a little bit, especially around integrating well-being with your HR strategies. Now, you've had a very impressive career across HR and diverse industries. What inspired your focus on employee well-being as a cornerstone of HR strategy?
Yeah. So I think if we look into strategy, right, I would say strategy without people is meaningless. And today, any research you pick up, you can actually look at the linkages of how higher employee well-being drives higher valuation, better profitability, stronger market performance. So simply put, if you ask me, you cannot afford not to make well-being a core part of your business and people strategy. And I also feel I'm glad that, yes, we had lots of challenges when we look back to the pandemic era that we've had. But what it did do was to really turn and bring forward this whole well-being at the core of all what we do. I'm glad that today more and more organizations recognize that when we look at our employees, each one of us are unique. We bring our skills, our aspirations, and our responsibilities, and our personal and professional life is totally intertwined. So strategy is delivered through our people, and well-being for me is no longer a nice to have, but it's a strategic business enabler. So if you have to view an employee, you have to view the whole person, the skills, the career aspiration, the priorities, and well-being. So I do truly believe integrating well-being into HR strategy is a must.
Well, hallelujah for that. I think you're a great leader, clearly, right? And you really care about your people and you want, and you're right, right? Like, you know, someone that I admire is someone called Simone Biles, and she's an Olympian, and I'm sure you know of her. She really put a light on this whole notion of well-being really tied to high performance. So if you really want to have a team that's extremely strong, right? Extremely resilient, you need time for rest and well-being. This is just a critical component of being human. But with that, you get great results and you get great innovation. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
When done right. Okay. So we're going to continue on the same vein. How does employee well-being intersect with talent development and organizational success in a global context?
So if I were to really look at talent development in the simplest form, I would say talent development is about finding the sweet spot. Finding the sweet spot when an employee aspirations aligns with the organization needs. Right? So when we talk about investing in talent development, building a stronger talent pipeline, it's about contributing to individual growth and leading to organization success. So I see well-being as a foundation of helping individuals grow, thrive, reach the full potential. And if people are not well, whether we say physically, mentally, or emotionally, they cannot fully engage, cannot learn, cannot contribute meaningfully. So I would see well-being and talent development needs to go hand in hand. And that is something that I would call it out as something that you cannot see it as two separate aspects. Having said that, I would also want to call out that well-being is deeply complex, right? I mean, it spans personal and professional dimensions. It is shaped by cultural expectations, personal priorities, varies significantly across regions. I mean, you talked about my career, and even going back to my own experience, coming from Mumbai, India, to then Singapore, then to Zurich, and working with different teams across globally, I have seen firsthand how well-being priorities shift, you know, depending on the context. What resonates in one region may not hold the same weight in another. In one region, it could be a financial security. On the other region, it could be about mental health support. So looking at this context is a very important part. And I feel when I talk about employee well-being, that's where the intersection comes in when you look into a talent development or an organization success.
Fantastic. I love it. All right. Now, when we think about kind of in the similar vein in terms of career success, as companies increasingly focus on employee well-being, what role does career development play in fostering resilience and engagement?
So, I mean, I just talked about the sweet spot. Maybe the other piece as an extension, like you rightly mentioned, would be when individuals align their career choices with their values, their interests, and well-being needs, I would believe that they're expected to be more fulfilled and engaged, and pursue their own career development, which in a way leads to individual and organization success, right? So it's really about aligning your career to the dreams and aspirations that you have. And when you look about resilience, in a way, very simply put, it's the ability to adapt and bounce back from stress, adversity, or setbacks. People with strong resilience are better equipped to handle life's challenges without being overwhelmed, right? It does not mean that they don't experience stress. It does not mean that they don't have the emotional pain. But what it means is that they are able to navigate it constructively. So for me, the way I would look at it is if you're following your dream, your passion, the career you aspire, it will give you the power to navigate the challenges. It allows you to equip yourself with that resilience, the strength to navigate real life challenges, seek opportunities, take that risk, and invest in personal development. So well-being and career development creates a foundation for sustainable performance and building organization and individual resilience is the way I would see it.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, I also want to kind of highlight the point around really around alignment, right? You know, we don't talk enough about values. Like I feel like even though, you know, oftentimes you have company values, you know, listed somewhere on the website or whatnot, it really kind of boils down to alignment of the employee's values with the company's values and how they feel like they can be seen and heard, right? Like they're whole in their in bringing themselves to the to their office environments and whatnot. So I just really like the fact that you're cognizant of this and that you're doing all the right things. Now, the next question is, what are those innovative programs and initiatives that may help in that similar vein, both professionally and personally?
That's a very interesting question. And to be very honest, I wouldn't say that I have all the answers here. I think we've been as an organization and as a topic, it's a lot more nascent. Having said that, maybe some of the focus points that I would want to call out, which I believe can give us and open up more opportunity for innovative programs and initiatives is the way I would like to look at it. Right.
Yeah.
So when organizations support well-being, it's about creating an environment where people feel safe, valued and supported. And clearly it's a culture. It's a culture creation. It's like a culture where everyone, whether their leader, whether the people manager, whether the employee, all have a role to play. So for me, the innovative programs or initiatives are really coding around a few couple of points. And I will also talk about what we have recently done in Jivathon. So maybe to connect the two.
Okay.
So first of all, I would say it's about accountability of behaviors. So this is a space where I think where organization can make a difference. And this is where some of the times I've seen, in fact, many organizations are doing that in a very good way. It's about clarifying and helping the people manager in enabling this cultural shift, you know, allowing or helping the people manager to lead this conversation, leading the conversation to discuss boundaries, the unconscious biases, promoting the inclusive communication. So I feel there's an element of how we can promote and support this accountability of behaviors, which can really create more innovative programs and initiatives in this space. The other one I would call about is really the formal policies. Right? So formal policies, I think today, largely, most of the organizations have an employee assistance program. And that's a great start.
Yeah.
But it's also about taking it to the next level. It's about really being more cognizant and being aware of the different needs of the employees that you would have, looking at from a very inclusive lens. So very recently, we rolled out a global parental policy. Now, it may not be fully relevant or accepted in all parts of the world, but that's the direction. I think these are all areas where how you support the well-being of your employee. Global parental leave, flexi working, access to comprehensive well-being programs. For me, all of these aspects can give you areas of how you can develop programs and how you can move forward. And of course, equally important to track and measure progress. I mean, you don't have all, it's not a fully measurable in all ways, but still to see whether we are making a meaningful impact would be very, very critical. And I talked about Jivathon. So I think it's Jivathon, we approach well-being very holistically. We look at addressing mental, physical, and financial health. And it has elements on building manager capability, promoting and supporting psychological safety, having formal policies to support, like, for example, flexible ways of working, and an ongoing view of how we are making progress, either through engagement survey, program participation, even looking at absenteeisms. We are still at the nascent part of the Earth journey, and that's why I said I couldn't exactly point out these are the innovative programs, but I believe these are the pockets where we have a lot of opportunity, where we can bring that innovative programs. And I believe in co-creation. So let's co-create with our own employees on what can, how we can make a meaningful difference.
Absolutely. Well, I just, you know, just in hearing you now, right, I can sense, I can really hear that you have a genuine care for the people that work with you. How big is your organization? Because you're all across the globe too.
Yes, so as an organization, we are more than about 17,000 employees globally, spread across continents, across countries. My particular division, I'm close to about 10,000 employees. And again, it's uniquely positioned in all the different regions and countries, and blessed with a big HR team that we are all partnered together. So yes, not very big and large, not too small as well.
Yeah, definitely an enterprise, right? That has, it's a multinational enterprise.
Absolutely.
So you have nuanced requirements. Actually, it lends well to our next question, which is managing HR across regions comes with its challenges, right? So how do you tailor well-being and engagement strategies to respect cultural differences while maintaining global alignment? Like, what are some of the things that you kind of look at when developing programs or changes based on region?
Oh, that's a great question. And yes, like you rightly said, on the one hand, when you have the big presence and you're talking about a complex topic like well-being, it's definitely not one size fits all. So I think it's tapping with that recognition that it's not going to be a top-down approach, nor it can be a bottom-up approach. So it has to be a multi-pronged approach. And when I look at from a global, regional and local lens, I think it's important that how do you set the practices? So you set the tone. However, you also need to give that freedom, which can allow you to make some of those policies and practices personal and relevant. So maybe let me just give a bit more example of what we are trying to do in Jivathon. And like I mentioned, we've not scored it all, but we definitely believe we are making the right move in the right direction. So at Jivathon, we started the well-being discussion for quite a few years back. And very recently, we have articulated our ambition much more strongly. Okay.
And
so we've got three pillars. We talk about prevent, promote, and support. And this sort of gives you a holistic and proactive approach to health and well-being. And I can talk a bit more around it. So when I talk about an ambition, or let's say a bit more of what we want to do as an organization, that's where the global approach comes in. The ambitions are, in a way, a unified global approach, providing certain consistent principles. And it's also about anchoring our commitment. Yeah. So you talked about values in your previous discussion. It's really about saying, what is it that we would want to stand for? And what is that we want to connect? So these are the three pillars. So when we talk about preventing, it's about preventing poor well-being. And this is where at a global level, we are talking about how can we assess and manage factors that may cause negative emotional and psychological, physical impacts at work. Okay. And like I mentioned, it's about preventive. So it's all about being more proactive. How can we provide more safe and, you know, open work environment when we discuss and we talk about well-being risk? How can we take more proactive actions to really even go in for a step of risk assessment? And this is where we talk about minimum site standards. So you can see it's a bit around the global elements of what do we want to see. And that's where the structure and the ambition and the commitment comes through. Then we talk about promoting positive well-being habits and behaviors, like a bit more closer to me as an employee to start with. And this is where it's about the programs, the resources. How do you really support the employee well-being needs? And it starts with employing at the core. How me as an employee, how can I get more access to understanding my own health and well-being needs? How can I have an environment where my manager can support me more? And how can we build that healthy habits? Okay. And we would say the healthy habits could be ranging from creating awareness to using an EAP, to talk about webinars, to talk about really trainings, promoting behavior. A big part of what I would call it as, you know, taking away the stigma. In some parts of the region and globe, as we talked about, we still have a big population who may not want to bring this topic ahead because you have the fear of being judged. You have the fear of being so stigmatized. So how do you really promote that right behavior? That's the second pillar. And the third one is about support. And here is where I would say it's about, yes, while we have everything in place, you may still have the situation where the employee has faced this challenge. So how can you support the reintegration? You know, how do you help the employees with that listening ear to navigate the tough times? How do you really give that support when needed? And how? What are some of the policies and resources that can help you? So in a way, if I put it together, it's about saying, you know, you need to have policies and principles and ambition led globally, delivered locally, and ensure you have some measures which can allow you to see and you're making a continuous progress. So it's clearly a multi-pronged process where things come in from a global lens, but you have enough flexibility to deliver and adapt at the local level.
Yeah. That's great. And it sounds like you really have started to develop that, you know, like that strategic plan, right, with respect to how well-being integrates into overall engagement and other metrics that you measure. So you talked about metrics, right? A lot of times with metrics, it's nice to have data points, but you got to analyze it, right? You have to analyze those data points. You have to kind of figure out what you've learned. So I'd love to ask, like, what lessons have you learned about navigating the complexities to support employees effectively?
I think it's a great question. And I go back to the point of the complexity of the subject. Right? And so maybe to start with, I would again talk about employee well-being sits at the intersection of personal and professional life, which it makes it all the more gray. It's influenced by many factors. You know, we have the individual health, the life events, financial pressures, social dynamics, workplace conditions. I think it's a mix of many things. So while we are still in the journey, and I'm sure there's lots more to happen, and it is an ongoing journey, the first step is to even open the conversation and open the discussions. But having said that, what I would always call out is well-being is not just an organization responsibility. And that for me is one of the big lessons and the area that I would like to really prioritize and encourage my employees to know more. Right? As employees, as companies, we can create a supportive environment, policies, resource, culture, all that which needs to be shaped and will continue to be shaped. But well-being is shaped by personal and professional factors. So an employee's lifestyle, the mindset, the relationship, the life circumstances all play a role.
Yeah.
And the least that we can do is to take and encourage the employees to take that ownership a bit more. You know, like, I can only do this much, but it's for you. So what matters to you is important. So for me, that's the biggest lesson. And that's also the biggest challenge, where it's about saying, as an organization, you can provide the tools, you can provide the resource and the culture, but the employees must take the ownership for their own well-being. It is about making use of what's available, speaking up when support is needed, setting those boundaries, and making choices that align with your values and your energy. So, I don't think I have a perfect answer.
One thing I won't say.
Complexity.
Absolutely. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Vivek Murthy? I know you're in Switzerland, Zurich, right? But if you are, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Vivek Murthy. He is the former U.S. Surgeon General, and his team out of the U.S. actually published last year a framework. It's a five-pronged framework for employee well-being and overall mental health for employees. So following our podcast, I'll send you some details around it. I think you may find it, if you're not familiar with his work, I think you may find it helpful and useful in terms of how to look through a lens that's already also really well researched.
So thank you so much. That'd be wonderful. It sounds very, very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, speaking of that, I'll send it out to all of the council members. Because why not? I should actually send it out to all the council members. All right. So leadership plays a crucial role in well-being, right? Your leaders kind of set the tone. How do you prepare leaders to champion mental health and employee engagement within their teams?
Yeah, I would say we start with by saying that everyone can help to make the workplace a healthier and more supportive place, clearly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, you play a very important role in setting the tone. So one of the things that, in fact, very recently, 2 weeks back, as I mentioned, we rolled out the well-being ambition.
Yeah.
And also launched by starting with our own CEO and then the EC members, which is like the executive committee members. And then it's about how the leaders are making this well-being a priority and how they can own it and make a story of their own, right? Which is what you and me can relate to. Because you can have all the posters in the world, but it doesn't translate into behaviors and norms and what you want to amplify. So mm-hmm. if I have to call out as leaders, what is it that we can do differently? For me, it's a pure area about leadership sponsorship. And what does that really mean? It's really about calling out well-being as a priority. Make it important. Talk about that in your town halls. And this is something that we really encourage and have made it a part of the way we take and talk about well-being. Participate in sessions and webinars, share your experiences. And I'm sure when we look at people with more with that human lens, you realize that we all have our own stories to say and share.
Yeah.
We all have our own stories of, like I said, the triumphs and the tribulations. And that just makes us so human. And clearly it's about role modeling, the habits and behavior you want to amplify in others and how do you want to see. And I would also call about celebrating small wins. It's like, you know, if you have somebody who's actually taken a break and coming back after the recharge, let's celebrate that. Don't stigmatize. Let's destigmatize that.
Yeah.
So creating that safe and caring team environment, making it much more comfortable to share and talk. That is what, as leaders, you can play a big, big role.
Yeah, I really love that approach. And it sounds like, you know, I speak about the tone, right? And you speak about the tone as well. Leaders truly do play such a big role because it's around psychological safety, right? And creating that safe workspace, feeling like you can speak about certain things, obviously not dwell necessarily, but feeling comfortable to bring your whole authentic self is truly important. Now, when we talk about strategies, right? How do you employ inclusion as part of organizational culture? Because that's also about bringing your whole self. So how would you address that piece within Givaudan?
Yeah, surely. And I think I talked about looking, you know, when you talk about well-being, it's also about looking through the lens of inclusion, right? Because each of us are unique and each of our needs are different. Mm-hmm. And we talk about embedding well-being in our company practices or decision-making. On one end, I would definitely say it's a journey. So while we are talking about ambitions, accountability, behaviors, and more things will evolve along the way, it starts by really looking at what are some of the behaviors that we would want us as a cultural norm and how do we make that ways of living every day in, day out. So at Givaudan, we are aligning our well-being strategies with these insights by, one, I talked about how we're looking at comprehensive program that look at mental, physical, and financial health, training leaders to recognize and support well-being needs. And when I say well-being needs, I will also put that inclusion needs, because it's also about inclusive communication. It's also about nurturing that environment, which allows you to open up and have that open conversations. It's about promoting a culture of openness and supporting, which allows the employees to be more valued and feel more heard. I talked about the role of a leader. For me, it goes to the next step, the role of a people manager and role of me as an employee as well as a colleague. So when I look at, when you talked about how do you embed in a culture, I think they all have a role to play. So as a people manager, I would say we have a big role to play as how can you do a frequent check-in? You know, how do you foster that deeper connection?
Yeah.
Really discuss and agree about some of the mutual boundaries. And I'm not saying, we all know we are in a real world. So it's not going to be that I'm going to have a deadline. We are going to have those deadlines. I'm going to have some pressure moments. All that reality exists. And that's why I would say it's about mutual boundaries, about give and take. It's about agreeing what's good and what is really not acceptable. Supporting recovery when your team members are struggling or bringing it back. And it could be simple as offering some flexible hours or renegotiating some other work arrangements. And equally, when I look at colleagues, it's about saying, speak up. If something is not feeling right, take care of yourself and support each other. And it is okay to ask for help. I would always say asking for help is not a mark of weakness. It's a mark of showing strength. Okay? So for me, when you look into inclusion, well-being, these are very interspersed. And if you create that environment where we all can come in, be ourselves, thrive, in a way, you're meeting both.
Does that same? Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So right now, I mean, many leaders are looking at the landscape of, you know, the future of work. I feel like we're at a crossroads right now in the world, right? Work is changing, especially with the onset of AI. We're not going to dive into AI today, but I do want to understand, how do you see the relationship between employee well-being and business outcomes evolving as the years ahead?
So one of the most important questions that I get today when I'm hiring my Gen Z and my, you know, the new hires is, what are you doing about well-being? So that's a question.
Really? Okay.
And that's a question that we're going to answer. We need to find more and more strong answers as we go along, because that's definitely the ask there. Coming back to your question, I would say yes. Today, I believe that most of the organizations, if we look around and if from what I read, I think we are in the space of building awareness. We're still in the space of building awareness, making the conversations much more natural, human, as we talk about the destigmatization, so on and so forth. So clearly, as we go along the years, I would say more outcomes to come, more impacts to be seen. Ever very recently, I was reading the McKinsey article, and the studies highlights that while companies are investing heavily in wellness programs, and it's as good as, I think they talked about projecting a value about close to $95 billion globally by 2026.
Okay.
Anticipated improvements in employee mental health and the productivity today are not fully realized, right? So you can see there's a huge investments coming in, but we still have a long way to translate it. And that for me is an indication that well-being initiatives must go beyond surface level programs, I would say. That's like, we're just scratching the surface. We're just getting to know more. And even if we take about, you know, we don't know what we don't know. You know, if I take a popular policy like a flexible work arrangements, which I guess everybody talks about when we talk about well-being, yes, it has mixed effects. While it offers you autonomy and more option to manage your work life, it can also be, on the other hand, lean to increased stress if not managed properly, because you don't exactly know where do I switch and where do I start, right? So it's like two parts, and we're still learning in that journey. So I see more to come as we look into the future of work, and the relationship between well-being and performance will only grow stronger. And all that I would say is well-being is not something, again, only the organizations can own. And as we move more and more forward, the most successful businesses will be those that not only invest in well-being, but also foster a culture where the employees feel capable, empowered to take charge of their own health, growth, and career. So that's the intersection I see. And that's the future where I think there's more to come.
Really well said, Ashija. I think you're absolutely correct, right? It is... It's definitely an industry that is now getting more and more attention. I think that the topic is now becoming more relevant. But to your point, we're still at a bit of an awareness stage, right? And I think the sector is also emerging with technologies that could absolutely help. So that's part of also the Wellbeing Council's mandate, is that exploring technologies that really lend to this topic that we're cultivating right now more within the council. Now, as a last question, we want to get to know you even more. So we're going to take it back to you in your early 20s, okay? What type of advice would you give your younger self? What would it be?
Okay. Well, then I would say, talking about well-being and keeping the conversation of, you know, building a caring workplace, taking more ownership. If there is one advice I'll go back and tell myself, it would be, you know, be a little more less hard on yourself. You can't be more kind on you myself. if I look back, yeah, it was always looked to be like, you know, this whole pressure of I need to be, you know, you're talking about 20, but even if I go from there, it's like the best student has to be the best, you know, the wife, the mom, the different daughter. It's just the multiple expectations that you keep on building on yourself. And that just makes it more and more tough. So today, whenever I talk about people, I would just go and say, it's okay to be not okay sometimes. Okay.
Oh.
And asking for help is a mark of strength and not weakness. So please take care of yourself, invest in yourself, and make yourself a priority. It's not bad.
That's some good advice, right? I think you mentioned you have daughters. Did I remember? I'm sure you gave your daughter some amazing advice, right?
So I have a daughter, and she's mental well-being is her very favorite subject.
Oh, really?
She is pursuing her psychology, a master's, and this is the space that she's very committed to make a difference. And I must say, sometimes our conversations, you know, she's 21, so it can really go a long way. It's not about, you know, you translate from a mother daughter to a professional conversation to a millennial and a Gen Z discussion. So it's an interesting space that we both sometimes explore without knowing who is the mother in the room.
You know what? We should invite her to come to the next.
I'm not sure that's a date idea.
No, I would love to have her. So what I'll do is we'll speak offline. Let's talk about that a little bit. It's been an absolute pleasure, Shija, to get to know you in this capacity. Thank you for making time for the Council's Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast.
Thank you so much, Tagi. Thank you for this opportunity. I really enjoyed the discussion and conversation. And you're really bringing forward this important topic and shaping it for the future. So well done and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.